sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. For love lifted me, love lifted me. And when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Yes, love lifted me. Oh, love lifted me. And when nothing else could help, love lifted me. And all my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. And love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best song. And faithful, loving service to him belongs. For love lifted me, love lifted me. And when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Yes, love lifted me. Oh, love lifted me. And when nothing else could help me, yes, love lifted me. Oh, love lifted me. And when nothing else could help, love lifted me. And souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. For he's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. And he, your Savior, wants to be saved today. For love lifted me. Yes, love lifted me. And when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Yes, love lifted me. Oh, love lifted me. And when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Yes, love lifted me. Oh, love,
I like that song.
Lifted me.
When nothing else could help.
And when nothing else,
there was
could
no
help,
other answer.
Love lifted me. Yes, love.
You know, I love those old songs. I hope you love them as much as I do. Because when you sing those songs, you're singing the Bible. You're singing the Word of God. You're singing the truths right out of the Scripture. And they're wonderful. Now, we have an exciting broadcast today. I'm really thrilled about it, and I want you to get in the middle of it. The church and Holy Ghost gifts or Holy Ghost power. The church and the visitation of the Holy Spirit. The moving of the Holy Ghost. the presence of the Holy Ghost. See, I've been saved 67 and a half years. Well, almost a half. 67 plus. And in all those years, I remember when I was first saved, you'd hear these Baptist preachers on the radio. Man, Mays Jackson, one I remember, and some others, man, they'd get anointed. You'd love hearing open the Bible. And the Pentecostals was just a little above that with a special anointing. Oh, you'd sit and weep and sob while you heard the word preached because you could feel it. It won't just sounds in the air, and it won't just emotions in the hands and the feet. It was something rich inside, an anointing, an unction from the Holy Ghost. You know what that word unction means. I think most of you would know something about the anointing. Maybe the new generation don't. But I'm telling you, that anointing of the Holy Ghost was something outstanding, something rich and wonderful, and it's almost gone. It's almost lost. Even the Pentecostal churches, there's very little anointing in Pentecostal churches anymore. And most of what you feel when you go is an emotional thing. They build it up with music, get the music right, get somebody dancing in the aisles, patting the feet. You know, I'm telling you, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is the most wonderful thing a church will ever experience. There are many ways that anointing comes. There are nine gifts of the Holy Ghost. Remember that now. Nine gifts. I'm holding up nine fingers. Nine gifts of the Holy Ghost. Nine gifts of the Holy Ghost. And they are supernatural. Every one of them is supernatural. And the church without those nine gifts is not a church. It's a club. It's not a church. It's a club. It's a club. Now, you can read. I'm right now back writing on the book from Cobblestones to Streets of Gold, the novel of the life of Apostle Paul. And the anointing that was on that man, I can't wait for that book to get out there and people to get a feel of the anointing that would come upon these men of God and great miracles and healings. I mentioned on Facebook, Paul and Barnabas led out from right near Antioch on the first missionary journey. They went some distance off the shore there of Antioch, off the shore was then Syria, and they went to an island. There's some islands there, and started preaching. And they got to the second island, or maybe it was the last island, and there was a man. The sergeant of the island wanted to hear the gospel. That was the key leader of the island. He was a Paulist too, maybe kin to Apostle Paul in the family's lineage. But he was wanting to hear the gospel, and there was a demon-possessed man that started resisting the gospel and trying to make a mock out of it, trying to keep the sergeant Paulus from hearing the gospel. And Paul just put him blind. Made him turn blind for a season, the Bible said, which meant he wasn't going to be blind for always. It wasn't impairing his future. It was just simply giving him a warning. You don't resist this power. You don't resist this name of Jesus. And you saw that kind of power everywhere they went. Anointed power, miracles, healings, great things happening. Now, the church has got to get back to that. The church has got to get back. We can't expect to go in the rapture and go up in the to the millennial supper, an old crippled church that isn't anything but a club. We've got to have a visitation of the Holy Ghost. I'm on my face and shall be until it comes for a visitation of the Holy Ghost. A marvelous move of the power of God. Well, today we're just going to get involved in this. We're going to look at what the Bible says. Let's don't go by Brother Chambers. I don't want my opinion to have very much, except as it's based on the Bible, and I'm trying to bring the Bible for you to grasp it. I'm telling you, friend, we are living in an urgent hour. There's got to be a move of the Holy Ghost. There's got to be a move of the Holy Ghost, and I am so hungry for it. My heart is screaming for a move of the Holy Ghost that will bring the church back to the place it ought to be. Now, I want to do five things if I can find time, and I may have to move on another week with this. I want to talk about what St. John said, what Jesus said, and St. John printed would be a better way to say that. St. John chapter 14, 15, and 16 gives us a prophetic picture of what's about to happen at Pentecost. What is about to happen at Pentecost. And it's breathtaking. Then you go to Acts 1 and 8, and you'll see the transition as the disciples now are going to the upper room and tarrying after the resurrection has been completed and Jesus has ascended. And so it gives them a one verse saying, the power shall come upon you. And then we see Pentecost in Acts 2. And then we move to 1 Corinthians 12 or 14, and we see the gifts of the baptism, what the baptism represents. Everything the baptism represents is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And Paul lays it out where you can follow it very beautifully. And then I'll take you to Jude, if I can get a chance, and show you what the half-brother of Jesus said, we've got to get back. We've got to go back. He said, earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Well, there's been people who've contended for it and have experienced it. There's been many different intervals in church history where the Spirit of God has come down and done a mighty work of the kingdom. Mighty work of the kingdom. I was reading one time in G. Campbell Morgan. He was a kind of a Presbyterian kind of fella, a great writer. I have all of his books, I think, G. Campbell Morgan. And he just wrote wonderful things. And he went to visit one of these visitations of the Holy Ghost. And he talks about how he felt in this visitation that was taking place of the Holy Ghost. This was years ago. You understand, G. Campbell Morgan, I don't know the exact date of his ministry, but it's many years past. And I'm telling you, he told how the Holy Ghost was moving in this place. He said nobody was in charge. It was just like it was spontaneous. Everything was taking place. Somebody would speak. People would run to the altar and get right with God. Somebody would get healed. And he just watched how God was in charge, how the Holy Spirit was in charge. Didn't need a pastor up there dictating the next move. It was God's business, and God was doing the work. I remember when I first came to Pentecost, and this was in 1952. I was saved in March of 52. And I remember an old sister, her name was Feiss, Sister Feiss. And she sat over on the preacher's right, about the second row, the end, next to the wall. And every once in a while, she'd sing a song in the Holy Ghost. She'd sing a song in the Holy Ghost. I don't mean you heard the words. You heard the Holy Spirit singing the language that the Holy Spirit was using, which I had no idea what country it may have represented and what language it may have been. But I'm just this little kid, 16 years old. I come out of a Baptist background, wonderful people. There have been some great Baptist people. I'm not putting nobody down. But I'd come out of that, and I'd never seen the Holy Spirit move. I'd never heard anything like this. And she would pray, or she would sing in the Holy Spirit, and I was mesmerized. I mean, I was overwhelmed. I said, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard in my life. Most beautiful thing I've ever heard in my life. Now, let me tell you a little story, if I can hurry with this. I was in the mountains a year or two ago with my son and one of my grandsons. And we was at a park, and we spent the night in the park and cooked our own steak for dinner, you know, and slept in a tent. And the next morning, I forgot to bring anything to make me a cup of coffee. And so I'm walking around the camp looking for somebody who's got some coffee brewing. And I saw this couple, and I said to them, hey, y'all got any coffee? Yes, yes, come on over. And so I went over, and it was a young lady from Africa who had married a young man from, I believe it was Georgia. And they had met at Lee College, where my two daughters went to college. One graduated from there. And they were just precious. Precious. And they had gotten married at Lee College, where they met, and she was from Africa and he was from America. And so we got to talking about the move of the Holy Ghost and how the Holy Spirit can move in the services and how beautiful it is and how changing it is and how transforming, how people get saved and get deeper experiences with God. And so I said to her, do you remember when you was in the when you was in the mission fields? Well, it wasn't mission fields, it was home. I said, you remember anything about old-timers singing in the Holy Ghost? Oh, yes, she said. I remember very often one of the great saints would begin to sing in the Holy Ghost, and it was so overwhelming. It just would turn you upside down. I said, well, how many times have you seen that since you came to America? And she looked at me and was startled. She said, you know, I've never heard that since I've been in America. I've never heard anybody sing in the Holy Ghost since I've been in America. Now, that was the state of the denomination of which they were part of and I was part of before some years ago. And literally, she had never heard it since she got to America, but she heard it often in the mission fields among the old timers. I'm talking about saints, mission people saved in many languages, and they'd received the Holy Ghost. And sometimes I've heard missionaries tell about somebody receiving the Holy Ghost who's an illiterate person who barely could talk some dialect of the mission country, and they would begin to sing or begin to speak in English when they were filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And they would just say these most wonderful things in the Spirit. And it would be English. And the missionary would recognize, of course, the words, praising God, magnifying God, loving the Lord. And it was so wonderful. It was so wonderful. I can tell you quite a few stories like that because I've been Pentecostal for 67 plus years. And I know many of them. But I know that that's basically gone. Basically gone. A little semblance of it somewhere occasionally. Occasionally. But gone. Now, what happened during during that period of time in Pentecost? People were getting healed. Miracles of indescribable condition. I saw gorgeous leave. I've seen cancer disappear from a woman's breast. I've seen all kinds of wonderful miracles early in my life in ministry. Almost gone. I mean, no church. I mean, you pray and fast and pray and fast, and it still isn't happening. And you say, why? And the Lord says, my time's coming. My time's coming. The great darkness has just embraced the whole church world. But I am going to move again. That's what the Holy Spirit's saying to me. I'm going to move again. And when he does move, I want to tell you something. The gifts of the Holy Spirit will be at the center of it. The gifts of the Holy Ghost will be at the center of it. Now, let's make sure that you understand this is biblical. This is not some wild imagination of Joe Chambers, okay? I don't have, you know me, I've been on this radio 46 years now, and I've never lied to you. I've never used anything to try to create some kind of, you know, just something to get, no, I don't do that. I'm in the book. I'm in the Word. I'm in the truth. I'm yielded to the Holy Spirit to the best of my ability, and I'm yearning for a deeper yielding to the Holy Spirit. And it's coming. Oh, I feel it. I know it's happening. And I want to tell you, here's what Jesus said about when the Holy Ghost, this is prophetic now, of what would happen when the Holy Ghost came, when the Holy Ghost was poured out. See, the church, as John is talking here, Jesus has not been crucified yet. Jesus is teaching these things to John. And John is repeating what Jesus is teaching. And this will not happen, is plainly said, until after Jesus is crucified and ascends and goes to the Father's presence. And he will pray the Father. And the Father will send back this anointing. You know that story. You know, very simple. It says, Jesus said it plain. He cannot come until I go away. And when I go away, I will pray the Father, and he will send the Holy Ghost back. Let me read to you. Verily, verily, Jesus talking now, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Now, this is Jesus talking. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. The works I do, Jesus said, I do. Ye, when the Holy Ghost has come, ye shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, it couldn't be plainer than that. It couldn't be clearer than that. And Apostle Paul was an example of it. Apostle Paul saw more miracles than Jesus saw. Apostle Paul had some of the greatest events you can imagine. I mean, incredible, mighty, by the Holy Ghost, and they're still available. They're still available today. We got people on their faces praying for God to come back again, return himself, come down like rain on the mown grass, the psalmist David said in Psalm 72 and 6. Come down like rain on the mown grass. So Jesus said, when the Holy Ghost has come, the things I have done you will do, and greater than these will you do. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do it, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now that's John chapter 14, verses 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16. You go read that for yourself. And you try to deny that and say the church is not supposed to be a powerhouse. And I'm going to tell you, you don't believe the Bible. You don't believe the Word of God. You know this is in the Bible. And you know Jesus meant it. And you know it didn't end when Pentecost was occurring. It has continued because he said, all right, down to the end of the world. It was plainly said, unto the end of the world. Now, let's go to some other verses. John 14 and 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Everything that Jesus had said, he said the Holy Ghost will bring them back to you, and they will affect and change and alter your life. Now, I can't read them all, but let's go to the book of St. John 15 and 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, whom I will send unto you from the Father. Notice this now. Even the Spirit of truth. Even the Spirit of truth. He calls him the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father. He shall glorify me. Who does the Holy Ghost glorify? Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. If you take an ounce of the glory, when God does something wonderful, he will quit doing it in your, for you or in your ministry. He's not going to do anything unless he gets all the glory, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Isn't that beautiful? Then go to chapter 16. You ought to read John 14, 15, 16, all three of those chapters, and read them just to see all the prophetic things that Jesus said about the coming of the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit would do, a comforter, a teacher, a guide. Let me read this now in St. John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. Jesus is saying, hey, you need me to leave. You need me to go back to the Father. You need me to go out of here, get out of here. Because until, listen, let me read it. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. If I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. You talk about conviction of the Holy Ghost. When Jesus moves in the power of the Holy Spirit, the first thing happens is people come under great conviction for their sin. You can't lie and get by when the Holy Ghost is moving. You can't fornicate and then shout in the church when the Holy Ghost is moving. You can't cuss and drink and live like a drunken sailor and the Spirit of God breathe on you and move on you because he convicts of sin. I'm telling you, he convicts of sin. He makes that plain. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. When he comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Three things he reproves the world of when the Holy Spirit starts moving. One of them is sin. One of them, he begins to teach you righteousness. And one, he begins to teach you judgment to come. Those things will get a hold of you. When I came to Pentecost in 1952, and they'd preach, and the Holy Spirit would move, and messages, and prophecies, and miracles, and you always, I mean, you couldn't get away with nothing. Sin was just unacceptable in those atmospheres. I mean, it was beautiful. And people would learn righteousness without anybody telling them almost anything. You get a man saved, and he'd come back to church the next night, get all of his old long, shaggy hair cut off, and women would come back dressed like ladies instead of like a prostitute. I mean, it was just beautiful because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He will move on you and convict you of sin, but it doesn't stop there. He convicts you of righteousness. He brings you under the call of righteousness. It happens every time. It cannot happen. The Holy Spirit cannot move without those three things occurring. And that is conviction of sin, a teaching of righteousness, and an understanding of the soon coming of the Lord and judgment to come. I mean, that just is normal as a goose going barefooted, if I can use an old country term. It's just the way it is, and it will happen in that fashion. Now, the time will flee, and I really want this to become a big conversation. I want to talk to you. I want to help you grasp it. What do you mean by the moving of the Holy Ghost? What happens when somebody sings in the Spirit? What do you mean by someone giving a message in tongues and somebody interpreting? What do you mean about some person over in Africa receiving the baptism, and instead of speaking their language after they received the baptism, they speak in English, which they don't even know, which they barely heard, just a little coming out of a missionary's mouth. You know, I'm telling you, those things are wonderful. How about the healing? How about the fact of holiness, producing holiness? People today get religion and don't live a bit different than they did before they got religion. That's because they got religion, they didn't get saved. You really get saved, you will absolutely want sin out of your life. It's just natural. It's what God does. It's the way God does things. It's the way God operates. And I promise you, when the Holy Ghost moves, he will convict you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Our people today, you know, you go anywhere you want to church. People get saved, they don't live a bit different the next week than they did before they got saved. In fact, it'd be a miracle they even come back to church on Sunday night. I mean, that's just how distant we are from the old paths that was real in the day of revival. It happened in the Methodists. It happened among the Presbyterians with Charles Finney. It happened among the Calvinists with John Calvin. You can go anywhere you want to go in the old great moves of God, and you find these very same things were real, and they moved, and they were marvelous, and they changed people's lives. It's just everywhere. There was a move of God. There was a change and a transformation. Now, would you grab your phone? I want you, please, there's just many of you, to call and let me hear from you. What you, or I maybe ask the question if you don't have something to say, to ask the question about this way, 704-391-0588. That's all you really need to dial. You got cell phones everywhere, and so there's almost no such thing as long distance anymore. If you happen to have a landline, you can call 1-800-338-7884, and we'll pay the bill. Okay? And we're glad to go. We want to be a blessing. I am so burdened for what I'm talking about to happen. And it is going to happen. You say, Brother Chambers, how you know? Because the Bible said so. I gave that to you last week. Okay? It is going to happen. Now grab your phone, 704-391-0588. Please don't not listen. Please don't not call, I should say. Please don't not call. I want to hear from you. I'm going to remove the call one more time. Write them down, 704-391-0588, 391-0588. I'll tell them to you again in a minute, but I want so much that you call, and I want to answer questions. I'm telling you, questions are so important on Open Bible Dialogue. I've got 8 programs here. These are previous OBDs, and they're about the gifts of the Spirit, supernaturals. And there are 8 different radio broadcast on here. You can get these for a very reasonable amount, $34.95, in an album. You see it right here. Whole thing, 8 CDs, And let me name them. Spiritual Energy, Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual Energy, number 2, Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Number 3, Spiritual Energies, Gifts of the Spirit. And then you have Holy Spirit, God's Action Person. You have 2 programs with that title. Then one on Discerning of Spirits, one on Tongues and Interpretation, and one on love, because all of it has to be governed by love. Everything the Holy Ghost does is governed by love. Never anything but love. There's no hardness and harshness in the action of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't make anybody do anything. He's a guest at your temple every time he operates in you. You must allow him. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Have you ever heard that? The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. God doesn't make me do anything. I've got to yield to him. I got to submit to him. That's part of this series, if you might would like to order them. They'll be sent right off to you, because we're just here to be a blessing. I mean, this program has always been for the purpose of blessing the church world. How long am I going to continue? Whatever he allows, whatever he guides me. The devil is fighting us tooth and toenail. I mean, he's always fought me like a tiger. Always has, because I've always been on the cutting edge. I've always been a watchman on the wall. I've got involved in things that will boggle people's mind through the years. As God has led me, always leading, yielding to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Always doing my best to hear what he says and do what he says. I am nothing. Joe Chambers is nothing, nothing, nothing. Old country boy that God graciously saved didn't deserve a thing but hell. But God, by grace, changed my life, and I love him for it. Man, do I love him. Can't wait to get on the other side. Now, while you're calling, I want to tell you about three things I've got on Facebook. If you have Facebook, go to Joseph Chambers. Joseph Chambers. Now, there's more than one of them, but I'm only one of them, okay? So Joseph Chambers, Charlotte, North Carolina. I think you'd find me. You see my face there somewhere. And I put three pictures that I took pictures when I was in Turkey. One of them, I'm way up on the Tarsus Mountain walking on the ancient Romans road that was laid 2,000 years ago approximately. And it was used, the road was a travel road from the Mediterranean area of that part of the country over into Ephesus or the capital of Turkey, Istanbul, I couldn't get it said there, Asia Minor. That road was, traveled by multitudes, and Paul would have traveled that road on many occasions. That was the only way, unless you go by sea, to get over to the other part of that particular area. And so that road was paved all the way across the mountain by the Roman people, the Roman government, called Romans Road. And so I was walking on a piece of it. You ought to go see that. And then I went to Antioch and found the dock. I mean, this is documented. They even have a place there to view it from. So it's all in very, very clearly documented. And I went to the dock on which Apostle Paul and Barnabas caught a boat, a ship, to sail out on the first missionary journey. And I went down in the water, and the man got a picture of me coming up out of the water with bare feet. And I look like I'm about to fall and kill myself in the big old rocks. But I made it, and I didn't get hurt. And that picture is there. And then I show the oldest church in the church world. It was started in, they say, AD 44, I think it was. And it's up in the mountain. It's a mountain church. It was called St. Peter's Cave Church. St. Peter's Cave Church. And that would be where Paul and Barnabas was anointed and prayed over before they went out on the missionary journey. And you'll see the picture of that church. You'll go inside and see the cave walls. You can tell it's nothing but a cave. Even had a tunnel at the back of it because it could go through the mountain and come out on the other side. And they had a tunnel in case there was persecution, and they had it often. They could flee from the church out the back of the church. And so they all would always have a watch. And when the persecutors would come to try to kill them and try to put them out of commission, they could flee out the back tunnel and go home to their villages. And so you'll see that right on Facebook. And I think that's amazing. I love showing people things like this and bringing them a little history. Makes the Bible come alive. The Bible is a authentic book for him, perfect and fulfilled. And, oh, what a picture it is. So I hope you'll go to Facebook and see that under Joe Chambers. Now, grab your phone. Waiting on your calls. My phones are all open still. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Now, I've given you the foundation. John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Beautiful material. You heard me read it. You go read those three chapters. John, St. John, 14, 15, 16, and see what Jesus says about the coming of the Holy Ghost. And when you see what he says about the coming of the Holy Ghost, don't reduce that. Don't try to take away the supernatural elements of it. Don't try to say, he didn't really mean that. Oh, he didn't say what he didn't mean. You don't ever say Jesus didn't mean that. If Jesus said it, he meant it. He didn't say things just for effect. He said what he meant. Now, let's go to Acts 1. Now, I want you to see, in the transition, see, those things in John were taught before Jesus was crucified. Then Jesus was crucified. He was resurrected. and he's with his disciples about 40 days teaching them things that they are to remember. Well, in Acts chapter 1, he's on the hill of Transfiguration. He's fixing to, he's on the hill of Ascension, He's on the hill of Ascension. He's fixing to arise in front of them and disappear into heavens. They won't see him no more till he comes back at the rapture. So he hasn't been back since in literal body form in that manner. But let me tell you what he said in Acts 1. He says, let me read Acts 7. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. That's the renewing of the kingdom of Israel on the earth. But ye shall receive power. That's dynamite, dunamis. The word dunamis, power. You shall receive dynamite, power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So they will receive power, dunamis. That's supernatural. That's power that humans cannot do, humans cannot effect. That's power that's beyond the man, the human, me, you, anybody else. It's got to be the Holy Ghost. And he's got to get all the credit or give Jesus the credit. I mean, I'm here to tell you, this power never operates in Joe Chambers or nobody else to give them authority, to give them some kind of a prestige, to give them some kind of big name. Doesn't happen. If you're a big name, forget it. He ain't going to use you. You got to become a little name for God to use you. You got to get rid of all that cockiness and you know, haughtiness. Humble yourself under God until you are lost in the Holy Spirit. And then God can work in you. And he will not work until you do. Most preachers today are nothing but emotion. I get so tired of hearing emotional sermons that have no power. You know, they never walk over to where somebody's sitting crippled and see them heal. I mean, we must see the healing power of the Lord again. We must see the healing power of the Lord again. So ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now I'm waiting for you to call. 704-391-0588. Are you afraid to call? Do you not want to be exposed for not having this power? Well, I'm not having it like I want it, and I don't worry about being exposed because I'm humbling myself in fasting and prayer for God to use me. I want God to use Joe Chambers like he's never, never, never used me before. That's my burden. No, I love when God gets a hold of anybody and uses them. And you can see it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So ye shall receive power after that. Notice that after that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me. You shall be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You see there's no end to this. Uttermost part of the earth. This power is to operate in our lives until Jesus returns in his glory. It's right now supposed to be in us. It's not in us because we are in a period of great declension and falling away, and God is withdrawn his mighty power for a season, waiting for us to return in repentance on our faces and seeking God. And I'm crying out to the church, let's go back. Let's start contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. Let's go back to where the Holy Ghost can visit again and show his power and his authority. I believe it's coming in my lifetime. How long you got? I don't know how long I got. I know I've got a while. He certainly healed me this past winter, made me fresh again, and renewed my strength like an eagle. I'm just excited. I'm thrilled what God is doing in me. So I'm crying out to you. Let's pray for a sovereign move of the Holy Ghost. Let's cry out to God for a sovereign move. I want some questions now. I'm opening the lines to you. I'm giving you a chance to call. We don't have as many calls as we used to, and that's because there is not as much interest in the Bible as it used to be. I mean, it used to be gung-ho from the time the program started. Phones would start ringing before I got ready to even answer questions. Well, I want that to happen again because there's got to be a move of God. And to have it, you got to get excited. You got to get interested. You got to get involved. You got to become a prayer warrior. You got to get seeking the face of God in His power and His love. Now, let me stop just a moment. I need to make an announcement. And this is very important. There's a lady in this city. The Holy Spirit has really shown me this. There's a lady in this city who is a great pianist. And God has ordained you to be our pianist here at Paul Creek. We need a pianist. Before, when we didn't have one, we went for, so long without a pianist. It's not easy. We will make it because we are dedicated to the core. But God has a pianist, and I want you to call me before this day's over. As soon as the program ends, after 2 o'clock. Don't call me until after 2. I can't answer the phone. You can call the ladies and leave a phone number. I'll let them give you my cell if you'll call and say, I am a pianist and I feel God calling me to help Paul Creek and to be a pianist. And God may have some other plans for this person. I don't know what God does. God is big and God is magnificent. And God certainly is not going to let Brother Chambers down. He stood by me. And every day, I've been a pastor 62 years and I've been through a lot of valleys. But I've always come out on the mountain on the other side. Every time, and we will this time. I promise you. So if you are called of God to be a pianist, or if you're called just to be a blessing to this church, then get busy and move at the leadership of the great Holy Ghost and let God use you, and He will do so. Now, a pianist, I tell you again, I really believe God has shown me without a question. I think they are in Charlotte. That may be somewhere else. People hear me from all over the world. Who knows where they are? But they're godly, and they're pure, they're clean. They live a holy life. Wouldn't put nobody else on the pianist. We'll do without one before we put somebody that's ungodly and doesn't live the life. We've got to have somebody who lives the life. This life is wonderful. You know that? This life is wonderful. So if God's moving you, you move. God will never make you do nothing. God never makes people do anything they don't want to do. God will use you if you yield to Him. He can't use you if you don't yield to Him. And you'll be the blessing on the end. Always, always, always. Acts 2 now. See, this is it. This is Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, I don't know of any time that there's been this kind of sound, but I know there have been many times when the fire has come down. I mean, when the Holy Ghost has moved, there have been fire trucks called to put the fire out on top of a church. When they got there, it was not their kind of fire. It was a Holy Ghost kind of fire, and they couldn't do a thing. That's happened many times, even in the Church of God that I was a part of for 40-some years. Now, I'm telling you, listen to me. When God moves, people will know it. When God moves, people will know it. It ain't possible for God to move and people not know it. The neighborhood will know it. The city of Charlotte will be moved when God starts moving at Paul Creek like He's about to start. We're praying. God spoke to us 14 months ago. Said, if you fill this church with praise and prayer, I'll fill it with people. And we started praying every day, every day, every morning at 6, sometimes a little before. Sometimes I've been a minute or two late, but not much. I want to be here on time because if God shows up, I want to be here when He shows up. And I'm telling you, it is nothing like old-time praying. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. Now, let's look at this. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, there was all in one accord in one place. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Now, you'll notice, anytime a church starts praying, there'll be a ruckus. Somebody will cause a ruckus. Somebody will get, all cocky and smart-alecky, and they'll do their best to divide the place because the devil can't stand a Holy Ghost visitation. And he's right now trying his best to divide us and keep us from having that Holy Ghost visitation, but he's going to fail. Are you hearing me? He's going to fail. We're going to have a Holy Ghost visitation. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. They were filled with fire. That's what John the Baptist said. You shall be baptized in the Holy Ghost and with fire. Follow the life of Apostle Paul. Follow the life of Peter. Follow the life of James. Follow the life of those New Testament people. If you don't believe there's mighty fire, Peter could walk down the street and the shadow of Peter would fall on somebody on a stretcher and they would be instantly healed. And the demons would run for cover. Apostle Paul could send the handkerchief off of his body when the Holy Ghost was upon him. He couldn't get to everybody, so they'd send a handkerchief out of his pocket or some cloth that he maybe was wearing. They'd send the cloth, and people would be healed, and demons would run for cover just because of the clothes that Apostle Paul wore. That's the kind of power I'm talking about, and that's what God wants to do again, and that's what God is going to do again. I mean, we're right on the verge of it, friend. I'm here to tell you, we're on the verge of it. And with all humility, I want to be a part of it. I just want to humbly be a little part of what God does, whatever little part it might be. I want to see the sick healed. I want to see people saved. I'm so heart sick at all the Pentecostals I know that used to be on fire, and the fire's gone out. They don't have a bit of oil in their lamp. If Jesus would come, they cannot go into the marriage supper. That's impossible. When the oil is gone, you cannot go into the marriage supper. If you used to be on fire Pentecostal and now you're just a little lukewarm, not much of that. I mean, you couldn't toast a piece of bread. You're so lukewarm. My friend, I'm telling you, you're not going to go in that rapture. And Jesus is calling you. I believe this is the hour. I'm not putting nobody down. I want to help you. I want to get you on fire. I want to see a move of the Holy Spirit. I want to see God visited in all of His glory and His wonder and His blessedness. And whether you're hearing me in Africa or hearing me in Australia or in New Zealand or up in Russia or down, you know, wherever you're hearing me, I'm here to tell you the Holy Spirit wants to move in your life. He wants to give an anointing upon you, but you're going to have to stay on your face. Shall not the Lord avenge His elect who cry day and night unto Him? Did you notice that? Shall not the Lord avenge His elect who cry day and night unto Him? I've been reading this great passage. It's really been stirring my soul. Stirring my soul. It's in the book of Isaiah. I love the book of Isaiah. Listen to this. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries. I prayed over that this morning. Lord, make thy name known to thine adversary, not mine. I don't want anything to happen to my adversaries. I want them forgiven. I want them saved. I want them renewed. I want God to love them. I must pray that way, and I do it with all my heart. I do it with all my heart, genuinely. But he's praying here for God's adversaries to see the glory of God. Or God's talking about his adversaries seeing the glory. When thou didst terrible things, when thou didst come down, thou camest down, he said, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. Oh, that's what I'm looking for in Charlotte, North Carolina. No mountain around here, but there's some other things that can flow down around and over until men and women will feel the glory of God. Now, I want you to notice verse 4 of this text. This is Isaiah 64. Verse 4 says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not seen, men have not perceived, are seen, nor heard by the ear, the things which thou hast said, O God, beside thee. Now listen, I want you to hear this. Beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Notice that word waited. What he has prepared for him that waiteth for God. See, if you want God to visit your life, find you an altar and start staying there. Spend an hour a day at an altar somewhere. Anybody that don't spend an hour a day waiting on God is not going to see nothing. Nothing. You say an hour? Well, that's probably minimal. Probably more than an hour. But you've got to learn to wait on God, and you've got to fill the church altar. Jesus said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You have family prayer in your home. You have church prayer in God's house. You have family prayer in your home. You have church prayer in God's house, at God's altar. God intended that from the beginning. Wonderful praying in the home. Every family ought to pray together. Every family ought to have prayer times in the home. But when it comes to God's house and the church and the business of the church, the house of God, the altar of God, is a place you need to come and pray. You can't hardly get people to go to church to pray anymore. I don't have time for that. I need to be reading my Bible. I need to do this. No, listen to me. If you want to see God, you're going to wait in God's altar. If you want to see God, you're going to wait in God's altar. Are you hearing me? You may get a little emotion without it, but if you get God's glory, you're going to wait at God's altar. That's where it's going to come from. Hey, I'm still waiting on calls. I got 12 minutes, 13 minutes. Let's take some calls. Let's have some good questions. Maybe somebody give me a testimony. Hey, anybody out there that's heard somebody singing in the Holy Spirit recently? Oh, that's almost unheard of today. I can't find nobody's ever even seen it, except a few old-timers like me. You know, we've seen it because we remember. I remember Sister Childress. She was a missionary, her and her husband. The last mission work was in Peru. When we were in a school building, when the Church of God had put us out of our building on Little Rock, and we're in a school building, we raised the money to build a church in Peru before we raised the money to build our church or to buy a building. We raised money first in a school building now. This was 1991, 92, something like that, when we were put out of our building on Little Rock, worth $5 million, by the way, that then got sold to a public school. Oh, somebody's got to answer for that. Whew, that's going to be a load to bear in the judgment. I promise you. But God is mighty to move. God is mighty to move. And God will never fail. I promise you, God will never fail. So if you have a testimony, you remember seeing somebody singing the Holy Spirit, you'd like to tell us about it. You remember when the gifts were just all the time being seen around the house of God. Somebody call and tell me about a miracle you remember seeing years ago. I don't mean now these little tidbit things. I had a headache. God will heal headaches. I'm for that. God will heal anything. I don't care how little it is. And I'm for those things. But I'm talking about miracles that you cannot just say that happened. They were revealed. I went up to Black Mountain recently to visit the church I built up there and spend a few hours in it. And I got a hold of their son in the process of going up there. Well, a son. I said their son. A son from the church. And I said, you remember when your mother was healed of gorda? Yes, I remember. A gorda on her throat and it disappeared. I said, I remember that happening. That was one of the miracles God gave us while we was pastor here. And I told him about other miracles. You see, God is a miracle worker. Have any of you ever seen a miracle? Are you telling me there's nobody listening to me today can call and tell me of a miracle you've seen in your church? It's almost gone. Preachers are constantly saying to me, we're not having any miracles anymore. I said, well, do you trust God with your body? Well, no. I said, well, how do you expect anybody else to if you don't? You know, I mean, if we don't believe God, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that, notice, diligently seek him. Now, anybody out there listening, you old-timers certainly know that Brother Chambers is right on target. I am preaching exactly what I heard from the time I got saved in 1952. Except then it was happening. It won't just talk. Then it was taking place. It won't just be talked about. But it was already in a declension. It was already kind of vanishing. I mean, not as many, not as much, rare. A preacher over here is on his face day and night, and he's getting miracles. So-and-so goes every morning at 5 and stays there 3 or 4 hours, and he's getting miracles. Those are the only ones you're going to hear about. Those are the only ones you're going to hear about today. Because I'm telling you, God is waiting for somebody to get on their face and stay there until a visitation takes place. And I'm begging you to be a part of staying on your face with Brother Chambers and Brother Marlon Clark and a few others. Come along. If you will do it, God will honor your doing it, and you'll become part of a miracle. Well, my phone hasn't rung. I presume nobody out there has seen a miracle. That hurts my heart. I thank God I've seen them. I thank God I can tell you about so many of them. This winter, I was one sick man for 3 months. I was one sick man. The devil had already signed my death warrant. I'm telling you, he'd already signed my death certificate. But I knew he was wrong. I knew I was going to be healed because I trusted God. I didn't trust nothing but God, and God is sufficient every time that we trust Him. And you can trust Him, and He'll heal you. Hey, I want to have prayer today. I want to see miracles begin. I'm waiting on them. I'm waiting on the blind seeing. I'm waiting on supernatural events. I really am. Believe and expect in any moment for them to begin. And want to see you as part of the first one. Anywhere out there, in any part of the country. I've called numbers of people over the last 3 or 4 years. And God has healed them through the phone. God has healed them through the phone. I'll never forget 2 or 3 of them that were just spectacular. One was a sister down in Alabama. A sister down in Alabama. Precious lady, still alive, still serving God. And she was deeply sick, way inside. I mean, she was a sick lady. God told me one morning to call her. And I called that morning, and God performed a miracle. It was so instantaneous. It was so wonderful. And I remember another minister. You know, I'm busy on the phones a lot of times, calling, praying with the sick. This week I called Brother Jeff Mayo. Been so very sick. He's back preaching. I told him the other day, God's going to heal you, Jeff Mayo, and you're going to be proclaimed perfectly healed and perfectly whole. And I believe that. I really do believe that. And God is trying to bring us to the place of seeing His great miracles. Anybody? You have a question? How many out there really believe in the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost? If you believe in it, let me hear from you. Let me hear what you are thinking, what you are hearing from Brother Chambers. How interested are you in these great supernatural things? They are wonderful beyond measure. They really are. If you would like for God to use you by the power of God, the church needs to be visited by the Spirit. We need a flow. I'm not talking about a bunch of emotions. I've seen them until I'm sick of them. And I tell the difference. I have the gift of discernment, which sometimes I wish I didn't have. You know, I wish discernment never worked in me, because it breaks your heart. It breaks your heart. If you want discernment so you'll be powerful, forget it. It don't make you powerful. It makes you broken. It humbles you until you almost say, forget it, God, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about that. But it's everywhere. God is on the verge. God is in the move. God is moving, if I can say it that right way. And it is so near. It is so near. I look any time I come to church to see a breakthrough. I'm looking for it in the morning. I've been looking for it maybe during the radio broadcast. Wouldn't that be something? God would move right during this broadcast, and the power of the Spirit would move on this computer I'm sitting here in front of, and through the means of computer and Facebook and Internet and all the different angles, radio, that God was just perform miracle after miracle after miracle. I'm claiming it by the Holy Ghost of God. I'm claiming it. I am believing God to break through among us with a Holy Ghost visitation. It's got to happen. It's going to happen. And don't you forget it. I believe it with everything in me. Everything in me. And I'm waiting on it. Every hour I'm waiting on it. Church time, I'm waiting on it. Oh, I'm enjoying preaching. Last Sunday morning, I preached on the marriage supper. And those going to the marriage supper. And I said in the sermon, it's on Facebook, by the way. I said in the sermon, I'm not here to talk about who isn't going. I want to talk about who is going. And there is a lot of people going to that marriage supper, brother. And you can go. Now, you aren't going to go if you're lukewarm and cold and you've lost your first love, left your first love. You can't lose it. You got to leave it. If you've left your first love, the Bible says to those at Ephesus, you return to your first love, or I will remove your candlestick out of its place. That's how desperate God was, talking about that first love. And then in Revelation 3, the last Laodicean church, he said, because you're neither hot or cold, but lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Are you a lukewarm person? Answer this question for me, all over the audience out there. Everybody that claims to be a Pentecostal person, full of the Holy Spirit, are you as on fire for God right now as you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 6 months ago, whatever? Are you as on fire? No, I'm kind of cooled off. Well, did you know he said, because you're neither hot or cold, I'll spew you out of my mouth? You say, oh, he didn't mean that. I know he did mean that. Don't you say God didn't mean something he said. Don't you say the Holy Ghost didn't mean something he said. He meant everything he said. Now, it's been a joy. I brought you something really rich. I don't know about you, but I love this. I do want to read that verse in Jude. I meant to get there, and here I am about to bypass it. There's so much in this great Bible. You can never finish. You really can never finish. Look at verse 5:3 of Jude. Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you. Listen, needful for me to write unto you and exhort you. Exhort, that's strong. That means to just really cry out at you. That means to exhort you, to be plain with you, to exhort you, that you should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Now you read the book of Acts to see the faith that was delivered to the saints. And Jude is saying, I want you to contend for that. I want you to cry out for that. So could I ask my whole audience, will you join Brother Chambers and let's start contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints? Are you ready? Will you join me contending, crying out, begging, pleading? You don't need to beg God, just pleading with God to help you come to such faith. See, our problem in praying is not getting God's attention. It is God helping us to get where we can pray in the biblical fashion that brings results. Biblical praying brings results. It doesn't happen overnight. And God's not a little errand boy that does what you ask him to do on the spur of the moment because you kind of halfway have a thought you might like it. God's waiting for you to be sold out to him. God's waiting for you to be earnestly contending with him. God's waiting for you to give yourself in fasting and prayer. This kind cometh not but by fasting and prayer, Jesus said. This kind cometh not but by fasting and praying. Are you ready to fast and pray with Brother Chambers? Are you wanting, desiring, contending, earnestly yearning for God to visit and save your children before they lost and go to hell? Save your neighbors before they spend eternity in hell? Save your grandchildren out there in the world. My grandchildren, my children, some of them being, I'm not judging any of them, but there's certainly some of them very careless about where they are, very careless about being ready. And I'm crying out to God. I'm not going to quit praying until they're so convicted and so hungry that they cannot wait any longer. They come running to get right with God. I'm claiming it. Oh, I'm claiming it. I'm seeking him with all my heart, and I'm asking you to start seeking him with all your heart. I want to get you as involved with me in praying as I'm trying to be involved with myself, okay? I want God to visit us and move over us and shake our communities. Your church needs a visitation. You know that, don't you? I don't know of any that don't. Maybe you say, I have it on you. I pray that you do, but be careful. Make sure you understand. And I'm telling you, Jesus is going to pour out of his power. Now, this program has really been straight-laced and right to the point. I think you know that. You know Brother Chambers good enough to know I'm not playing games. I'm in this thing for keeps. I'm in this thing to the end of the journey. I'm contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. I'm striving to know Jesus in all the fullness of his love and his glory and his mercy. Now, we're in the last minute. And I'm telling you, join me in prayer. Get serious with me. Go to your house, your church in the evenings or the mornings, whichever is best for you. Get in your altar. Spend an hour. If I could get 100 of you out there going to your church and spend an hour every day in prayer, I guarantee you would see the effect in 2 or 3 months. You'd start seeing the effect in your church. I'm telling you, that's how faithful God is. God's not going to let you down when you give him your all. God is not going to let you down when you give him your all. He will visit you. He will make himself known to you. And you will see his glory and his power. And I love you. I beg of you, let's pray together. Love to have you in church tomorrow. Hey, pianist, I need you to call. If God spoke to you, love to have you in church in the morning. You'll be blessed at Paul Creek. You'll be blessed. God bless you. I love you. Jesus is coming.
Flow. now flow through me. Let it flow through me. Let it flow through me. Let the power of God now flow through me. And let it burn.
Hallelujah.